Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Our gospel lesson for this morning is one that is very familiar to all of us. It's certainly one of my favorites. But it doesn't appear in any of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, or Luke. This is John's story. As we read the story and set it in its context, it's the last of the seven great signs in the Gospel of John. There are seven things that Jesus does, great miracles to again remind God's people to whom they belong and that Jesus is the one who is sent. And this is the last of those signs. Immediately after this story, John turns to the controversy that Jesus has become the subject of derision and division. In this story, as in Ezekiel, there are dry bones to be had. I love that story in Ezekiel because it is the people themselves who say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost and we are cut off completely. I bet you've had times in your life that you feel that way. But God's response for the people of Israel is to say, no, I'm sending you someone who will preach to your bones. And then that wonderful, wonderful Spirit of God comes in and the bones come together, bone against bone and sinew. I will lay sinews on you and cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and I will put breath in you. And the bones come alive. God does not leave God's people in the desert alone. In the same way, in our story about Lazarus, who is Jesus' friend, has died. And in one of the most puzzling moments in Scripture, they were reminded time and time again in this story that Jesus loves Lazarus and really loves Mary and Martha. And they come and say, look, Lazarus is ill, and what does Jesus do? He stays for 2 days where he was. He doesn't rush off to go save Lazarus. But when he does finally show up there, I think more than in any other scripture, we get a sense of Jesus' deep compassion and love. He is devastated. And he feels for Martha and Mary and for Lazarus. And so you read the story, you heard the story. Jesus goes and he looks into the tomb. And he says, Lazarus, come out. And he does. But this, in the end, is not a story, I think, so much about Lazarus. It is a story deeply rooted in his relationship with Mary and Martha and all of God's people. Unless you have not been paying attention your entire life, you cannot help. You can't miss the fact that this has a parallel with the story that we will hear in 2 weeks. There's this parallel between the story of Lazarus and the upcoming death and resurrection of Jesus that you can't ignore. Well, you could, but there'd be no point. This is a little precursor. This is what God does, you see. God brings life to dry bones, pushes back death, and brings life. Lazarus, come out. And then to those who are around him, unbind him. I heard I read a dry bone story this morning, or yesterday actually. A senator in Kentucky's son came out as transgen, figured out when he was 3 or 4 years old, 5 years old. And all through high school, he did okay. But as he got older, began to experience more and more bouts of depression because there was less and less support for who he was and how he was. At age 17, things came to a kind of a head. But he endured. He still had friends, and he had people who loved him. 7 years later, he took his own life. Just not long ago. He found himself surrounded by hatred. He found himself surrounded in a world that had suddenly turned on who he was and how he was. And suddenly in his social media, he began to receive threat after threat. And time again, people who he didn't even know say to him, "Why don't you just kill yourself?" And he did. I heard the words, "My bones are dried up and my hope is lost and I am cut off completely." His mother, a Kentucky state senator, working to try and bring justice and hope to marginalized people, stood in the legislature as one of her colleagues introduced a bill that would have outlawed her son. And as he introduced the bill, the entire House stood up and cheered. And she felt nothing but dry bones. She ended up having all of her son's stuff sent to her house, and she scoured through it to find some words of wisdom, some hope, some way to address what she had seen as this terrible injustice. And in going through the boxes, she found, typical of her son, a ledger. And in the first column, it was all the reasons to kill himself. And in the second column, all the reasons he should live. It was devastating. She found a note, and it read something to the effect of, "I do not know why I am even here." Dry bones. What Jesus brings that day to Lazarus and to Mary and to Martha and to us is an antidote for the dry bones. Jesus remains with them in Bethany, and he calls out into the tomb and says, "Lazarus, come out and be unbound and find life." You see, this gospel lesson is juxtaposed against this whole dry bones and this whole idea of Lazarus and death and finality is juxtaposed against the story that happens just before it, one that we just recently heard about, where a Samaritan woman who is at the well, remember that story? Remember that conversation, that long conversation that Jesus has with the woman at the well? Those dry bones are juxtaposed against that living water that Jesus offers the Samaritan woman at the well. He says to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. In the end, what Jesus calls Mary and Martha, the woman from Samaria and us, to is to find ourselves immersed in the living water that God brings. To be washed in it. To drink deeply of that hope and that joy of a God who chooses to remain with us even through our darkest and driest and most difficult times. I think all of you know that the Christian church itself is finding itself in a time of dry bones at times. And I've really enjoyed reading. I do a lot of reading about what should we do next. But my favorite quote really came from one of the commentators on this text, where he says, you know what? There's no real program that's going to fix the dry bones of the church or the dry bones that we feel in there. Because it turns out, and I wrote this part, I said, it turns out that there is not going to be any canned program or strategy or council meeting or committee that is going to revive dry bones. It took me years to figure out that we cannot strategize or program ourselves out of our dry boneness. You see, God is the one who's in the resurrecting business, not us. It only took me 40 years to figure that out. Pretty slow. You see, it turns out that we are the recipients of that resurrection. We are the recipients of that living water that God gives. We do not, no matter how hard we try, produce it. And no more than the people of Israel could revive themselves from their dry bones, let us take a lesson, nor can we. It takes Jesus for us calling into our tomb saying, hey, come out. Come out of whatever that tomb is where you live and where you find your comfort or where you're hiding. Come out and live. You will not find love there. You will not find hope in the tomb. We hardly ever do. We find hope and life and living water in the one who promises to be with us forever, who sits with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and proclaims life. In the next week or so, we will play out this drama once again. And I invite you to once again find yourself immersed in Maundy Thursday, the day of service, in Good Friday, the day we remember Jesus' entry into the tomb, and the Easter Vigil where we start in darkness and we light a new fire, and we end in joy. Take that journey from the tomb to the living water of Christ. And we, like the dry bones of the monkey pod tree, will find ourselves renewed. It is my prayer that, like that state senator whose son has died or who took his own life because the dry bones became too much for him, that we should become the vessel that pours out the living water of Christ to bring life to those who have lost it. That the words of Jesus might come to the whole world. Come out, be unbound, and find life. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day, which Pastor Bree will tell you what that is.
Oh. 328.
Number 328.